This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Cody Hoag.
Poor Ellen Smith, sweet as a rose. How I love Ellen, nobody knows. Nobody knows. How I love Ellen, nobody knows. Poor Ellen Smith, how was she found? Shot through the heart like gold on the
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome today Cody Hoag.
Hi, nice to be here.
Cody is a singer-songwriter based out of Phillipsburg, and we were just talking before the interview started about some of her collegiate experience back in Bellingham, Washington, in the Western Washington University, and found out that she has some radio experience on her own as well.
Yeah.
Were you a DJ or did you have a show?
I was a DJ. As soon as I got to college, I went to the radio station and tried to figure out how to get involved and worked my way from reading the news to having my own specialty show. And then I actually worked for a year as their specialty music programmer. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a big part of my college life.
Great, great. And so what was your specialty show?
It was a folk music show,
okay,
appropriately enough.
Sure, okay. Yeah. CotyHoag.com is the name of the website, CotyHoague.com. Her most recent recording project is called Flight, and we will talk some about that and hear some music from that as well. Cody, as I mentioned before we started the interview, I think where I wanted to start with this is Phillipsburg. As you know, the program is podcast all over the world, so it's not just for Montana listeners, but for listeners all over the country and anywhere. Let's start with talking about Phillipsburg, Montana, and just what was Phillipsburg to you? Take us to Phillipsburg circa 2000 or early 2000s or whatever, when you were growing up.
Well, I mean, I moved there when I was five. I was born in Bozeman. And so most of my, you know, memory is in Phillipsburg. It's a tiny town, super quaint now. They've really worked hard to fix it up. But you know, I grew up, I think my graduating class was 15 kids. So, you know, I had one math teacher, one science teacher, you know, one English teacher all the way from 7th through 12th grade. And, you know, it's just a community where everyone knows everyone, and that can be really great. Or, you know, I guess if you mess up, that could be pretty bad. But I don't think I messed up, really. But it's beautiful, surrounded by the Pintler Mountains and wonderful little valley. Did a lot of outdoor stuff. I grew up, my parents really got us involved with outdoors. So lots of hiking, National Forest right in my backyard. So it was a great place to have my formative years.
Yeah, Western Montana, for those folks who maybe don't know where Phillipsburg is on the map. Talk a little bit about just the culture of Phillipsburg when you were growing up.
Yeah, it's mainly a ranching town. The history of Phillipsburg was being kind of the mining, where the railroad came in for when people who lived in Granite, you know, were mining. And so a lot of the minerals, I guess, were shipped out of there. But then it's really a ranching town. Still a lot of ranches now, kind of transitioning into the tourist world. Mm-hmm. There's a ski area right there. And so there's a mix of kind of the you can see all the old homesteads still. There's still a lot of old, you know, houses and barns and cabins that a lot of them are kind of starting to fall down. I wanted to go and take a bunch of photos of all of them before, you know, the heavy snow brought down the roofs. But definitely that's a big part of the culture.
Candy, of course, is a big part of
the
culture.
Oh, we can't forget the candy store. Yes, I think everywhere I go, I've gone so many places, you know, all over the country, and mention I'm from Phillipsburg, and for sure, number one question, oh, the candy store. I actually, this past summer, rode my bicycle across the country, and it was following the Transamerica bicycle route and pretty much rode through rural America, but you know, it really actually made me appreciate where I grew up and the work that a lot of people are doing to really, you know, save the town pretty much. Because I think there's a, you know, the plight of the rural town is real. And I saw some towns that are not doing well, and it really made me appreciate there's a sense of community there that's really working to maintain the vibrancy of Phillipsburg.
In a certain tree, I will make my nest. You can write to me at this address. I'll be there and then I'll be gone. No matter where we live, we all move on. Make me a raven's wing. I will return in spring. When the desert is a beautiful thing, fly away. Oh, how the pretty bird sings. Fly away. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know your town? Do they pick you up if you fall down? Do you grow best in a certain kind of ground? Get to keep every home we ever found. Oh, how the pretty bird sings. Fly away. Oh, how the pretty bird sings. Fly away. Thank you.
let's go from your experience growing up there and the history of Philipsburg, geographically where it's at. I find that even among Montanans, it's a very popular little town. People seem to really have an affection for it. And let's talk about how music became a part of your life mm-hmm. early on, even maybe before you were playing it.
Yeah, it's a great question. My great-grandmother was a professional pianist, actually down in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where my mom grew up. And it's kind of funny. I didn't get involved doing what I do now, actually, until I went away to college. But I grew up taking piano lessons. And so I was always very much into music. And piano was my way to express that. I was always listening to music. Always. I had to go to bed with the radio on. So I think just a lot of it was just always in my, just always streaming into my brain. There's videos of me when I was little, 2 years old, singing all these little kid songs, to the video camera. There's a classic video of me, I think when I was about 4, where I was singing into this microphone thing and the microphone stopped working and I got really mad and I tearing the thing up. And I also do a lot of sound tech stuff. So I was like, this is a great mixture of how my life has ended up as being a performer and a techie. So, there was that. And then just growing up where I did grow up, I think that, the nature, I'm being involved in nature and hiking and just being in a place that's pretty rural where you have to be connected to your surroundings that way has now been a big influence on what I do now that I have started doing more folk and acoustic music. Definitely affects that.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Cody Hoag. Cody, at what point did you start songwriting?
I was an exchange student to Belgium my junior year of high school. And when I was over there, the family that I lived with had a guitar. It had 3 strings on it. And up to that point, really, like I said, I, grew up playing classical piano. But that guitar, it was really a lifeline for me being over there and in a different country, speaking a different language. And at that point, I had access to the internet 1 time a week. And so I just picked up that guitar and started trying to learn songs that I liked on a 3-string guitar. Mm-hmm. and it was through that, I think that time is when I started, writing things and experimenting with songwriting. And then going off to college, I went to Western Washington University, and a subset of that, it's Fairhaven College. There was a folk music experience class, and I did that every quarter, and there was also a songwriting class, so I took that. That was when I really started getting more serious into the songwriting craft.
So is that where, your discovery of the process of songwriting kind of dovetails, it sounds like, into the knowledge and awareness of more traditional music?
Exactly.
It wasn't so much that was something that you grew up with. It was more a little bit later in life that you kind of, those two things came together, which pretty much forms your sound, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I started attending a music camp out there called the Puget Sound Guitar Workshop. And a woman from West Virginia, her name is Ginny Hawker, was teaching. And I remember she went to introduce a class called All About Unaccompanied Singing. And she started singing a song, totally unaccompanied, traditional Appalachian sound. And, it's just, when you hear something and it's just like, oh my gosh, that's my soul. Mm. And that was what that was like. And I ended up developing a friendship and mentorship with her. She was a mentor of mine and really learned a lot about traditional music through that. And I had already been working with some people, just learning more about Carter family and bluegrass and all these things. And that's kind of how that started. So I really went intensely down that path. At the same time, I was having this songwriting thing. And it's been an evolution and process throughout the years of like, how do both those things come together into forming what my sound is? Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of my journey.
Frost o'er the mountains, taste of fire in the sky. Pulls me and takes me back, words they linger in my mind. Thank you. stars above, you be my guide. Reaching deep inside the soul, rolling out the picture, sure that's life. Trying to find a destination, searching for a revelation, a sign. And we run, 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 run. Forget the cold, forget the dark, forget knowing what it's all about. We run, 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 run. Forget about the expectations, troubles, all the hesitations.
And we run, run, run.
Cody, can you talk about walking that fine line of being touched and moved by that traditional sound? As you said, that's my soul, mm-hmm. musically. And then combining that with contemporary songwriting. Mm-hmm. I mean, contemporary in the sense of it's coming, it's happening.
Right now.
You know, yeah, right. It's happening with you right now in 2016.
Yeah. You know, this is something, it's taken me a while to come to terms with where I'm at with that. Because I think when I went down the traditional road, I was so into learning everything about that and thinking I had to really write like in that old style, or, you know, you're performing those old songs and then what's coming out songwriting might not sound exactly like that. You know, and how is those two things, you know, complement each other? And it's definitely been an exploration. And as I look at my previous recordings and then up to where I'm at now, you know, there's an evolution and a different sound. I mean, I joke that how I got into folk music was, you know, hearing Fleetwood Mac on the radio when I was 14, and then somehow that led me to classic rock, and then that led me to the Woodstock video. I saw Joan Baez, and that led me to folk music. And, you know, so there's mm-hmm. all this influence. And
sure.
I think for a while, I didn't know how to deal with that. I thought I had to sound a certain way. So, you know, I love the unaccompanied singing. I do that. Or I love, you know, the sound of Maybelle Carter's guitar, or, you know, and so I do that, but how does that go with what I'm writing now and my experience now as living in 2016? Mm-hmm. So it's been a process of figuring that out.
Did the banjo and voice cover of the Lord's song, was that part of the process? That was really cool.
Yeah. So that kind of all started. Yeah, exactly. You know, I love, all kinds of music. And that started actually with, I was really into listening to Bruce Springsteen for a while, and I just heard his song I'm on Fire and was like, gosh, I want to do that song. And I'm a banjo player, and I play, you know, clawhammer, quote unquote, old time banjo. And I just thought, I'm going to figure this out, how to do it on the banjo. So I did that and just put it up on YouTube, and people really responded to it. And so then I just thought, well, I'm going to do the banjo cover project, and I'm just going to record pop songs and see what I can do with them on the banjo. And so I did that Lord song, and it was really cool. I played it at this banjo camp, and Riley Bogus, who's a very, you know, great banjo player, fiddle player, singer in the old-time world, heard me do it, and he's like, yes! See, old-time music once was new music. People had to write that music at one point. So that gave me a lot of confidence, him kind of saying that about being creative with something that is associated with a very traditional sound. You can still be innovative and new with it, mm-hmm. And also respect where the sounds come from.
And respect Lord at the same time.
Exactly. Yep.
I've never seen diamonds in the flesh. Teeth on wedding rings and movies, not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, blood stains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel rooms. We don't care.
Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, and everybody's like crystal Maybach. Diamonds on a timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash, we don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz, and let me be your ruler. You could call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule, I'll rule, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. Count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We don't come from money, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, tripping in the bathroom, blood stains, ball gowns, trashing the hotel rooms. We don't care. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, and everybody's like crystal Maybach. Diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood, that kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz, and let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule, I'll rule, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. I'm in love with being queen. Oh, life is great without a care. We're not caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz, and let me be your ruler. You could call me Queen. Let me live that fantasy.
This bicycle trip, let's talk about this. How did this come about? And I mean, this is not something most people drop casually.
Right. Actually, just did Ben this bike Soleil. Trip.
Yeah, well, Ben Soleil I've interviewed, and he definitely has a bicycle connection to his music. Mm-hmm. But just give us a little bit of an insight into what that was all about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of an adventurer, and I don't sit still very well. Always kind of have to be moving, which I guess is good for the music lifestyle. And I got it in my head that I wanted to bike across the country. I knew a couple people who had biked down the coast, and actually right here in Missoula, Montana, is the headquarters of Adventure Cycling. So I had been spending a lot of time in Missoula a few years ago. So I visited the headquarters a lot, talked with them about it, and heard about this Transamerica Bicycle Trail that was started in 1976. I spent last spring in Nashville, and then the opportunity to do this trip kind of came up. I had the time and just said, I'm going to go. And I left at the beginning of May and ended at the end of July. Started in Yorktown, Virginia, and ended in Seattle, Washington, where I actually pedaled to a music camp that I was teaching at.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I know it was really an interesting transition.
I would need another couple of months to recover first right. Before I got to the camp.
Yeah, but, you know, crossed the Appalachians, the Ozarks, the Rockies, Cascades, you know, just really got to see rural America. It was amazing.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Cody Hoag. All it takes is a casual visit to your Facebook page to know that you got a bit of a sweet tooth. Does this come from the candy store there at Phillipsburg, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny, actually, is growing up in Phillipsburg, you know the candy store's there, but I didn't go in there very much because I probably would be dangerous, but you always bring people. There's always a place to go when you have guests. Uh-huh. Got to go to the Sweet Palace because yeah. It's quite the experience for sure. Yeah. No, I appreciate a good tiramisu and chocolate torte. Yeah.
Well, all these things make up the person who becomes mm-hmm. the musician. So
yeah.
It's all relevant. Mm-hmm. CodyHoag.com is the name of the website that you can go to find out more about what's going on in the world of Cody Hoag. I'll spell that again for listeners. CotyHoague, CodyHoag.com, in addition to the Facebook page.
Exactly.
Flight is the name of the most recent recording project. Thank you so much for making time to come by and talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be able to get to come back here and highlight my Montana roots and be broadcast all over the world.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Cody Hoag. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. As well, you can contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook. Our program is now podcast on those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.